I push anything or it's on already? It's on? Hello.
Somehow I want to see.
How long do we have?
10 minutes.
Yanni?
Yanni, what's the video? The video.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Everyone can hear?
Yes.
Everyone's comfortable? Alhamdulillah. How's everyone doing?
Alhamdulillah.
Doing good? It's kind of cold, isn't it? Alhamdulillah. I wasn't expecting sunny Southern California to be this cold. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we seek His help and we seek His forgiveness and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah allows to go astray, no one can guide. I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship and obedience except Allah. He is alone without any partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. And we ask Allah to shower His blessings and mercy and grace upon His messenger Muhammad, and to raise his rank and to raise his mention and to raise his status and to grant him safety and security and peace along with his family and his companions and all those who follow his guidance to the last day. And we ask Allah to make us from amongst His true followers, alayhi salatu wassalam. Another Friday Eve or Thursday night. Alhamdulillah, it's good to see you all. And we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept from each and every single one of you your steps towards the house of Allah, and to make it a means of expiation for the sins, and a means to collect some more good deeds, and it means to raise in the ranks. And we ask Allah, as He has gathered us in this place, to gather us in a better place, and to gather us in the highest gardens of paradise with our loved ones and with our beloved messenger alayhi salatu wassalam. Speaking of paradise, who wants a house there?
Everyone
wants a house there. How about a castle, a palace?
Sure.
A palace, yes.
Upgrade.
Sure.
You like that? Alhamdulillah. Well, there are certain means that will guarantee you getting a very nice property up in the gardens of paradise. And guess who's making the guarantee? Well,
you.
The one who's making the guarantee is the one who receives revelation and inspiration from Allah, our Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam. May Allah bless him and grant him mercy. And we are so grateful to be part of his community and to be able to learn from the teachings that he granted, that he shared. Alhamdulillah. So today's topic, I was kind of, you know, I'm all over the place, you know, I had different things on my mind, but I wanted to share this in the beginning, again, as a message of hope for all of us. We should always be hopeful, because I know things are difficult, and I'm really, you know, I don't know how to describe my feelings, but I see the struggles of people over here, everyone in general, but specifically the Muslims, and it's not easy. And I just want to inform you of that, that this is how I feel. I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just have, you know, I have this feeling that's pushing me to say this, that I see that it's extremely difficult. It's not, you know, the best of situations. Yet, alhamdulillah, Allah Azza wa Jal is blessing you to come, to try to learn His deen and to practice it, in spite of all the difficulties. So, because of that, I think we need an extra dosage of hope. There's no problems with being hopeful. When things get tough, you hope. Because with more hope, it makes a balance. It eases things up. It eases the tension that you're going through. So that's why we should constantly remind each other and be hopeful. Remind each other of the vast mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. This does not mean, like I keep on repeating, that because Allah is merciful, that means we can just chill and not do worship and not do devotions and not take care of our responsibilities. Worldly responsibilities and religious responsibilities. That's, we don't want to confuse the two things. The fact that Allah is grateful, is merciful, and the fact that Allah is generous, this should just make us come closer to Him and realize that His doors are open, Azza wa Jal. Anyway, so to begin with a nice message of hope, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam teaches us, and he says, أَنَا زَعِيمٌ بِبَيْتٍ فِي رَبَضِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْمِرَاءَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مُحِقًّا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي وَسَطِ الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ تَرَكَ الْكَذِبَ وَإِنْ كَانَ مَازِحًا وَبِبَيْتٍ فِي أَعْلَى الْجَنَّةِ لِمَنْ حَسُنَ خُلُقُهُ. Now, there is different narrations that teach us that paradise is made out of different levels and degrees. It's like different stories. The gardens of paradise, there's different degrees according to how good you were, according to how righteous you were. You know, the bare minimum is that you have the correct belief and you follow it up with the minimum amount of actions and you end up in the lowest part of paradise. But then there's many, many levels above that. So here our Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is promising us property, a palace, for three different actions in three different zones of paradise. You know zoning? Like when you try to build a property and you gotta do zoning. We're talking about zoning in paradise now. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, I guarantee for you a house in the least, you know, the lowest zone of paradise. I guarantee for you a house in the lowest zone of paradise. If what? If you leave off argumentation and debate, even if you are truthful. He didn't say you're arguing and you have the false notion. He didn't say you're arguing with a lie. He says you're truthful, you got all the right in the world, but you leave off argumentation for the sake of getting a paradise, getting a property in paradise, getting a palace in paradise. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam guarantees this. Then he says, and I guarantee for you a property, a house, a palace in the middle zone of paradise. If you leave lying, you desert lying, you stop lying, even if you were joking. You know how people say something? Stop lying. Oh, I'm just joking. When you stop that, you're guaranteed a house in the middle zone of paradise. Just reflect how we have to make some adjustments into some of our regular dealings. And then he says, and a house, a palace in the highest zone of paradise for the one who has good manners. And this tells us, of course, the great virtue of having positive manners. We'll just reflect over this hadith a little bit. Of course, the best place that you can invest in is paradise. So keep that in the back of your mind before you think about property and owning some part of it and how to get there. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, leaving off argumentation and debate, even if you are truthful, this is talking about conversations that we might have and we want to prove our point. And there is no true benefit in proving our point. So what? The car that passed across the street was red, and it was a Corvette from 1975. So what? How beneficial is that? And you have a debate over that. No, man, it wasn't red, it was maroon. And it wasn't 1975, it was 1977. And they keep on going back and forth. For how long? Wasting resources and wasting time and opportunity to get closer to Allah. So if they adjust this bad habit of arguing with no benefit, then Allah Azza wa Jalla guarantees for them property in paradise. Now the problem with these types of discussions and debates and arguments, and this happens all the time, it happens with friends, it happens with family, it happens with husband and wife, it happens with brothers and sisters, it happens all around, it happens with imam and this community, it happens with the administration, it happens in politics. Debate, right? We're coming upon what? The great Republican and Democratic debates, right? Even if you're truthful, if you want the true reality, leave off argumentation. Now, of course, there are certain circumstances where you must make a point and so forth. But generally speaking, leave off useless argumentation and debates and get a house in paradise, inshallah. Even if you're 100% that you are upon the truth. Like there's no doubt about it. So me and my brother have a debate, and I know that the brother doesn't really know, or let's say he knows that I don't know what I'm talking about. I'm speaking about a topic that I haven't studied, and he's like, you know what? Let's stay cool with each other. Let us keep our brotherhood, and let's not debate about this topic. It doesn't mean stop talking. It means don't debate. Because debating is what the point behind the debate is, that I flex my mental and intellectual muscles and make you feel like a fool, and you do the same. That's what debates is all about. Look who's smarter. And a lot of times, people debate and they're lying. Like they realize, hey, what I'm talking about right now is bull. But I just want to prove that I can prove that bull is not bull, it's cow. Right? But it's still bull. It doesn't change the matter. So we should try to change some of our habits. Leaving off lying, even if we're joking, and you get a property in the middle of paradise. Now this person, of course, it means he leaves off lying all the time, under all circumstances, because lying is one of the biggest sins. Lying is one of the biggest sins. And in fact, the biggest lie is to attribute a partner to Allah Azza wa Jal and to worship something besides Him. So whoever lies is trying to justify that type of crime. So lying is very big, because you're covering the truth and you're establishing or bringing about a new idea. So now when we say under all circumstances, even if he's joking or she's joking, they hold themselves and they restrain. They're like, I'm not going to joke if it's a lie. This does not mean you can't make the environment pleasant, you can't make people laugh. You can make the environment pleasant and have a good time. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam used to joke with his companions sometimes, but he used to only say that which is correct. You want to know an example of the jokes of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam? A woman, an old woman, came to him. And you know, she was asking him something, and he's like, you know, there is no room for old women in paradise, right? And the lady was heartbroken. Like, it just really, really damaged her. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is so merciful. He's like, you know, you're not going to be old in paradise, right? You're going to be a young, beautiful woman. Because it's perpetual youth. You go back to the best age in your life in paradise. So that's the type of joking. It wasn't a lie. He did not lie, did he? One of the companions said, are we going to sleep in paradise? He's like, no, you're not going to sleep in paradise. Because, you know, sleeping is called the minor death. And he says, there is no death in paradise. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam taught us that we can have a good time, we can make people smile, and, you know, don't make the situation depressing all the time by frowning at people, but only say that which is correct. The problem with lying is one of the attributes of hypocrites. The Messenger alayhi salatu salam says the hypocrites have three major signs. When they speak, they lie. That's the first attribute of a hypocrite. So now, even if you're joking and you lie, you're on the border of hypocrisy. And by the way, what happens is we kind of get molded. If someone learns to speak the truth, they can only say the truth. And they don't care but to say the truth. But if someone, you know, is affected by lying and lies and so forth, he'll start speaking lies without even realizing it. Of course, lying is one of the biggest sins, the result of which is very, very bad. And the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says that the person will lie and continue to lie, and lying will guide him to evil and to corruption, and corruption and evil lead you to the fire. And the person would continue to lie, and he would plan out his lies until he's written in the records with Allah as a liar. We don't want to be written as liars. May Allah protect us from that. This is including lying to make people laugh. Keep that in the back of your mind. So don't ever lie, even if you're joking. So the hope is, you're going to have some paradise if you stop doing that. But the problem is, let's say you make people laugh and you joke and you lie, you're not going to paradise. So it's a huge contrast. May Allah protect us from His punishment. Good manners, of course, will put you in the highest gardens of paradise. And this is the best way to follow the example of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. So one of the best sunnahs to follow is to have good manners. Sunnah, people think, you know, what is sunnah? Oh, mashallah, the brother has a beard, that's sunnah. Mashallah, he wears traditional clothing. Some people think that's sunnah. You know, that's really, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam wore whatever was available as long as it covered his body properly. He wore the clothing of the Romans and the Persians and the Abyssinians. He wore everything that was available. Everything in the market. He did not stand out in his society. But people sometimes think that sunnah is just certain things. Oh, to use siwak is sunnah. Yes, all these things are sunnah. But one of the best sunnahs, traditions of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam, is nice manners. How come we forget about that? How come the people sometimes that say that we follow the sunnah don't have nice manners? A lot of people complain about that. Oh, mashallah, look, brother with a big beard, but his manners are terrible. That's very sad. Because now you're giving a sunnah a bad name. Right? Whereas the sunnah is, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. Indeed, Allah Azza wa Jalla tells His Messenger, you have the best of manners. You are on a high model standards of ethics. Very high, lofty, great manners. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, the Prophet ﷺ says in another narration that nothing on the day of resurrection outweighs good manners on the balance of good deeds. Just imagine that. It is the heaviest good deed. The heaviest of them all is to have good manners. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla hates the one who has bad manners. That's again, the opposite, the contrast. Now, what do we learn from these things? There is a message in here. It's not just about going to paradise and staying away from the fire. What about in this life? Islam is based on having social harmony. Reflect on the three things that we mentioned. You don't argue because you want to keep the love and harmony with individuals. You don't lie because when you lie, you'll keep on lying and lying and lying and deceiving people. And when people find out that you're lying, what happens? It's not good. They don't trust you. Remember the story of the wolf and the sheep? Hey, a wolf came. He just wanted the people to come and be with him for a bit. But then when the wolf came for real, what happened? They're like, he's lying again. The wolf ate him, ate the sheep, and was chilling. So that's what lying does to you. And of course, having good manners is the basis of having social harmony. Because when people have good manners with each other, the husband and the wife, the student and the teacher, the community members, even if things are difficult, you still have good manners. Even if I'm saying I'm hurt, you hurt me. Can't I say you hurt me with good manners? Brother, you really hurt me. Or,
you know, you really hurt me. You know, that's not very nice of you. And
you can say things, it doesn't matter how harsh the message is, but with nice manners, it cools it down and the person gets the idea. And that's what really matters. In Islam,
removing harm takes precedence than bringing good. That's a general principle, an axiom in Islam. دَرْءُ الْمَفَاسِدِ مُقَدَّمٌ عَلَى جَلْبِ الْمَصَالِحِ. So when you remove harm, that takes precedence to bringing about good. So every speech, every argumentation, every action that's going to bring about an evil, we should leave it off and stay away from it. Even if we're speaking the truth, right? Why? Because bringing the truth is bringing about a benefit. But if bringing the truth is going to cause an evil, what happens? You don't bring the truth. Because repelling evil takes precedence than bringing about good. Right? Allah Azza wa Jal says, do not curse the gods of those who associate partners with Allah. Even though, I mean, like they're worshipping things that don't benefit them. But Allah says, don't curse them. That's an evil, that's a good thing. Cursing these false gods is something good. But why? Because it brings about an evil. And you're supposed to repel evil? Because if you do that to the people who worship false gods, what will they do? They will curse Allah. عَدْوًا بِغَيْرِ عِلْمٍ. Without any knowledge, because they have no clue who they just cursed. So that's a worse thing than to bring about the, you know, the, whatever positive message you have with making fun of their false gods. Anyway, that's just a general thing, inshaAllah. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us, you know, these places in paradise and to benefit us from what we hear. A few things, inshaAllah ta'ala, that came on my mind the last few days. I sent out an email about a program and a person says, oh mashallah, brother, you're becoming a spokesperson for the organization. Or you're going to become, you know, one of their members or something like that. So I reflected over what he said. You want the whole story? The whole story is, tomorrow there's going to be a program. It's called Complicated. The Fiqh of Women in Islam. Says, A to Z of Women's Modern Fiqh. Okay? So I sent an email. Some of you maybe got the email. Anyway, I'll talk about this later, inshallah. That's the advertisement time. So I sent this, and a brother who's living outside of here, he's from this area, but he's not living here currently. He's like, oh, mashallah, so you're working with them now, or like you're a spokesperson for them. I said, no, I'm not. I'm not a spokesperson for them. And I don't know if I'll ever work for them, because that's the future, and only Allah knows the future. However, I felt that this is something positive to share with other people. Okay? And I want part of the reward. And I sent him the first email, but I felt like, you know what? I don't think I gave justice to my answer. You know? So I sent another, and used evidence from the Prophet's example, alayhi salatu wassalam, to prove my point. What's the story that I have in mind? One time, the Messenger, alayhi salatu wassalam, and his companions were out. I know I'm going on different tangents, but I hope you can keep focus with me. I don't know. I mean, it's like, you know, this is Hollywood, so I'm like a movie. You know, I come to you from different angles and you don't know where I'm going with this. But anyway, please keep patient. Anyway, so they were out. And one of the companions came to him and he says, oh, Messenger of Allah, my animal got killed. You know, what did they used to ride on? Animals, right? So just imagine you're in the middle of the desert, in the middle of the country today, and your car breaks down. But you're in a caravan, like you're with other people. But each one only has room for himself. Everybody's driving Mini Coopers. You know, they got no room to have an extra passenger. And your car breaks down. So this companion says, my animal got killed. Can you please give me a ride? Or can you please give me an animal to ride on? So the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I don't have anything to carry on. Just imagine how difficult their life was. It was not easy. So now he's in the middle of the desert. The rest of the caravan is riding. He has to walk. It's cold now. I don't know if you can imagine. I mean, the desert gets very cold as well. So having something to ride on makes things easier. Now, a man comes and volunteers. No one asked him. No one encouraged him. Out of his own positiveness, he came to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says, I know someone who will give him a ride. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was extremely happy. started smiling because he felt bad. The Messenger ﷺ did not have the means to help the person out. He wanted to, but he does not have the means. And sometimes that's what happens to us. We don't have the means, right? But that's not the case all the time. Sometimes you'll be surprised what you can do. Don't underestimate good deeds. So this man says, O Prophet of Allah, I know someone who will provide for him a ride. So the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam says, "Ad-dallu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ili." You hear this story, right? The last part of the story is very famous. The last part is titled, "The one who guides to good deeds is like the one who does them." We hear the end of the hadith all the time. "Ad-dallu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ili." "Ad-dallu 'ala al-khayri kafa'ili." Take it in context. Visualize the story and then try to implement it on your everyday situations. The one who guides others to good is like the one who actually does the good deed. This man just volunteered and he says, I know someone who can give him a ride. He got the reward of giving this man a ride. Remember Allah's generosity last week? Whoever has the intention to do something good, even if he's not able to do it, Allah will give him a full reward. The narrations come in harmony. There's no contradiction. There's no contradiction. The scholars say that when you guide others to do good, you pay attention to their affairs and you help them out, you get the reward. Because Allah Azza wa Jal is generous. And when we say a reward similar to that of the one who does the action, this means the person will be rewarded for this deed, just like the one who does the deed will be rewarded. But it does not necessitate that the reward is the same. Remember that. Because we said, the one who actually fulfills a good deed, Allah Azza wa Jal will reward him 10 times, up to 700 times, up to many, many times over. Right? So that's how, you know, the reward fluctuates. That's how, again, we can understand what we discussed last week. So, أَدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِ. So I sent this narration to the brother, and I realized that it eased the tension. He's like, may Allah reward you and reward the ones who are doing this. You know, in the beginning, the attitude was kind of like, what are you doing? You know, maybe these people are not good. Maybe they have issues and this and this and that. So I said, look, I don't have the capacity to have 250 people sit down with me for a full weekend and I teach them a huge portion of Islam. But someone else has the ability and the capacity. So I want a piece of that cake. I'm not going to be teaching those people. But I want a piece of it. And Allah is generous. I need the reward. I'm sinful. I have mistakes. I need all the reward I can get. So any channel of goodness, I want to throw myself in there. Every channel of good that you see, throw yourself in there because you're dealing with Allah and you always need the reward. You can't ever say, I have enough. You don't have enough. Remember, paradise is levels. If you end up in the lowest one, try to get to the top. And that's why the Messenger ﷺ told us, have high aspirations. Ask Allah paradise, but don't just ask for paradise. Ask Allah for the highest of paradise. Ask Him for al-firdaus. High aspirations. Don't settle for less. Don't do it. You're dealing with the most generous. أَدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِ. With that, Allah Azza wa Jal, of course, teaches us, and He says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. Cooperate with each other to do righteousness and to do pious deeds. Again, this is a major general principle in Islam. So whenever something that's taken place is good, take part in it and help the ones who are doing good. So you see someone feeding the needy, go and give them a hand. You see someone needs a ride, give them a ride. If it's safe, of course, because I don't know, sometimes here, man, somebody will come in and shoot you or something. But you know, it's a judgment call. You know, you can assess the situation, right? Someone needs food, feed them. Someone asks you for help, give them that help to the best of your ability. And if you can't do it, what can you do? What's the least you can do? Dua, true. Dua is like, man, that's a given. Like, are you going to be stingy to say, may Allah bless you? May Allah give you something? But guide him to someone who can. I don't have cash, but I know a brother in the community who has cash. Brother, go to him. And we do this all the time, right? Like a brother came to me, I think, last week. I gave the khutbah and he's like, I just moved here and I'm trying to look for an apartment. I'm like, okay, speak to this brother. He's a local. I didn't do anything, but I directed him. I hope that if the brother gave him contact for a good place, that I get the reward, the brother gets the reward, and everybody gets the reward. Why not? الدال على الخير كفعله, direct others to good, and it is as if you help them do it. This is when you teach someone, because the best type of guidance is teaching. And that's what, you know, we're trying to do. You guide someone, you direct someone, you help someone. It's just like if you actually are doing it yourself. You know, the Messenger عليه الصلاة والسلام, one time, a group of people came and they were in bad shape. They came begging. I mean, they were really, really bad. They came to the Masjid of the Prophet ﷺ and they were in bad shape, their clothes was tore up, everything about them just did not look right, and the Messenger ﷺ was very sad to see this. But like I said earlier, his situation, he was not rich. ﷺ, he didn't have a lot of money, and whenever some money would come, he would give it out anyway. So he could not help them. So he spoke to the community and he says, why don't you come over, I have something to share with you. He's like, look at the virtue of giving to people, look at the virtue of helping others out and such and such and such and such. And no one responded. Because everyone in the community is broke. There is a recession. The economy is bad. The excuses are all over the place. Right? But these people are worse than all of y'all. You're broke, but these guys are not. They're like under broke. Like your poverty line, they're under the poverty line. Your minimum wage, they're unemployed. You were physically capable of walking, their handicap. They cannot do something. So then one of the companions, he came and brought some money. Now the Prophet ﷺ had a sad face when no one responded. When that came, the Prophet ﷺ smiled. And when that first amount came, people started pitching in. All of a sudden, because people went to their homes, whatever you got, come on. The Messenger is telling us. Right? To help these people out. And sure enough, the Messenger ﷺ made a great promise. He says, whoever starts a good precedence in Islam will have the reward for acting upon it, and will have the reward of all those who act upon it, and their reward would not be diminished the least. So he's going to get his reward and the reward for everyone that he encouraged. الدال على الخير كفاعله, the one who guides to good is just like the one who did it. So if you were the first one to pitch in, and that caused other people to pitch in, you're getting the reward for everybody. Even though you only paid $10, but in the end of collecting money, they collected $100, Allah will write you as someone who gave $100. Why? Because Allah is generous. Because Allah loves for His servants to come to Him. Azza wa Jal. One of the most important actions that Muslims should do is to review and to check out and to actually investigate the conditions of the needy in their area. How many of us know about this action? Did you ever think about it? Actually asking around. Not to get into people's business, but to be helpful. Because some people, and we all know this, some people are in need, but they don't ask. Some people are in need and they can't ask. For whatever reason. So it's our job to go looking for them. Don't wait for the needy to come and beg you. You go out of your way. You go and offer your service. You go and put yourself on the line and say, I'm ready to help. How can I help you? And he's like, look, I need this. He's like, look, I can't do it. But we'll talk about it in the community. I'll discuss it with some brothers that I know can help. Right? وَالدَّلُّ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَعْلَ, the one who guides to good is like the one who does it. We should encourage and urge people to be charitable to these people who are needy. Now, subhanAllah, this is amazing because I was just thinking about this the other day. And I, you know, this is the thing that came on my mind. And then today, I got the news that we actually have a needy person in our area. A needy family. And this is an opportunity for us to pitch in. So I'm not going to tell you anymore, because I think the Messenger ﷺ said it, and said it well. He says, whoever guides to good will have the reward of whoever acts upon it. And pitch in, and Allah Azza wa Jal will take care of you. And again, charity has so many virtues, this is not even the time or the place for it. But if you're sick, charity is a source of healing. If you want forgiveness, charity, as the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam said, turns off the anger of Allah like water turns off fire. Who of us is not sinful? Who of us does not make poor choices? So anyway, we have this envelope. We're going to pass it around. Whatever you can give, give. And remember that you are dealing with Allah Azza wa Jal. So who's going to start? Who's going to start a good precedence in Islam? Here we go. Bismillah. But now, again, like this is just something like, and again, a situation that we didn't really think about. But there's a lot of situations like that. And we just don't know. So we should actually... Okay. I have a big bill and I need change for it. So, but we can't do that transaction of getting change in the masjid. Because that's a separate transaction. So I'm going to do that transaction outside, inshallah. Okay. That's that. And remember, وَمَا تَفْعَلُوا مِنْ خَيْرٍ يَعْلَمْهُ اللَّهِ. Any goodness that you do, Allah is aware of it. Any good that you do, Allah is aware of it. Remember that. Keep that in the back of your mind. Don't lose sight of that. Finally, time for announcements. I have time for announcements? Okay. You guys have heard about Al Maghrib Institute before, correct? About a few weeks ago, I told everyone about the conference that they had. Alhamdulillah, we had about 2,000 Muslims and some of our community went there and they checked it out themselves, alhamdulillah. Now, that was a conference, a one-day conference. What they usually have is weekend seminars, which is like an intensive weekend seminar. It's almost like a college-level class in Islamic studies. But the good thing about it is it's done in a way that's, you know, a professional setting. In colleges, usually it's in college campuses, and you get to meet other Muslims, you get to be in a good environment for the weekend. The beautiful thing about this class coming up, it starts tomorrow. The first session is going to be held in a masjid, because they're expecting maybe 1,000 people to come. That's the norm. What normally happens, people can keep on pitching, don't worry about it, just keep on sending it around. What ends up happening is the first program, the first evening, because it's a college level course, there is some type of fee related to it. And maybe people don't want to pay the fee. People are, you know, they don't know what to expect. So the first night is usually free. Just go and check it out. Right? Go and check it out. It's free. It's going to be in Anaheim. The masjid is called Masjid Umar al-Farooq, which is the Islamic Institute of Orange County. It's in between Anaheim and Fullerton, close to Cal State Fullerton. So I encourage everyone to go there. What is this program about? It's called Modern's Women, the Fiqh of Women, or Women's Modern Fiqh. So it's very important, of course, for all the sisters to attend this. And it's very important for the brothers to attend this as well, because a lot of brothers don't know anything about the sisters and what is specific to them and what is not. And some brothers are too conservative, but it's not part of Islam. And some of them are too liberal. So you have to strike that balance and be in between. So this is going to be an opportunity for a qualified person of knowledge. One of the scholars that we have in America, alhamdulillah, his name is Dr. Waleed Basuni. And he's going to be with us. He's from Houston. And he's going to be the whole weekend. Saturday and Sunday, it will be in Cal State Fullerton. But on Friday, tomorrow night, like Isha, the time we meet here, pre-Isha there at 7:30, and the program will be basically from 8 till 9, inshallah, and it's going to be a packed house. I encourage everyone to go, and if you ever had misconceptions, or and most people do, because the issue of women, unfortunately, in our community doesn't get addressed much. So the sisters don't ever learn, and what I'm coming about is, the companions in the time of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the sisters, you know, they were courageous. They were not sisters who were hiding. And they're like, you know what? We're not going to learn because, you know, we just don't want to bother the men and we'll just stay at home and not really take part in anything in the community. They went to the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam and they said, look, the men have you all the time. We want our own private session. Now, they used to be welcome to the general sessions, but remember, they did not have microphones. They did not have different rooms. The women used to sit in the back of the masjid. So maybe they couldn't hear a lot of the things that were happening, right? So they're like, we want our private session. And sure enough, the Messenger ﷺ gave them a weekly class only for the sisters. No boys allowed. A private session. So this could be considered that, of course, there will be men and women, but it's going to focus on the affairs of women, fiqh from A to Z, but also women's participation in the community, studying and how to do that, the dress code of a woman, interaction with the different genders, interaction with non-Muslims, women's careers, you know, all types of aspects that come on your mind. And remember, a lot of the things that people have culturally in the East have nothing to do with Islam. So we need to learn Islam and what Islam mandates for the sisters. Now some people, what they have is they're afraid. It's like, if you teach the sisters, you're going to empower the sisters, and that means we're going to be exposed that we don't really know what we're talking about. Well, this is a point to encourage the men to get the knowledge and to help their families out. Who's going to raise your children up? If your wife doesn't know Allah's deen, who's going to raise the children up? They're not going to be raised up. The television is going to raise them up. You're not at home. You're not really teaching them. The mother is the first teacher. The mother is the first school. So if you don't teach the mother Islam, then what are you investing exactly? And also, if you don't marry a woman who knows Islam, you're asking for your own destruction as well. So either way. And then I know a lot of people, mashallah, a lot of the brothers in the masjid, I don't see the bachelors today for some reason, but a lot of the brothers are like, we want to get married and this and this. That. This is an opportunity because there is scholars there and they know sisters who are available, and likewise there's brothers who are available, and the scholars can match you up Islamically. No playing games, no going and checking people out in the best of ways, in the most decent of ways. Again, some brother told me when the conference, he says, this is beautiful. It's a beautiful environment. Tell me about more situations like that. If you want to be around Muslims, whenever an opportunity like this happens, go to it. I personally, I'm going to take my whole family. And I want to see everyone there as well. Because for me, it's an iman boost. But at the same time, you know, don't ever underestimate a good action. Maybe you tell someone to go and check a program out, and it could be, again, a turning point in their life. So, this is a very important matter. It's called complicated, but the end of it says, the simple truth is, it just ain't complicated. Everyone complains about women and this and this and that, but when you learn, it doesn't become complicated anymore. The complications, the tension eases. And instead of arguing in falsehood, you're going to actually have knowledge. And instead of speaking lies against Allah and His Messenger, you're going to learn the truth. And you're going to learn how to have good manners and how to deal with different things, even if you don't understand them. Inshallah ta'ala. So I encourage everyone to register. If you want to register, you go to almaghrib.org. Almaghrib.org, almaghrib.org. That's their website. You can register online. And you can register on the spot. The least you can do is check out the free session. If you don't like it, see you later. If you like it, they might raise the price up if you register on the door. So, anyway, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to bless us all, to guide us, and to grant us the ability to implement what we learn, and to make what we learn a proof for us and not a proof against us. You know, from now on, when someone jokes who was in this crowd and they're lying when they joke, remember what we learned today. When someone argues with no benefit to the argument, even if you have the truth, but you're like, I don't want to damage my relationship with my brother, man. His heart is too precious for me. The sister's heart is too precious. My wife's heart is too precious. My sister's heart is too precious. I don't want to damage these ties. I'm going to cut it off. Cut off the evil. Because this argument is evil. And guess who the cheerleader is when you argue? Guess who the cheerleader is? Tame shaitan. Satan himself is cheerleading, telling you, go it, man. Look, man, that argument is so whack, you can just knock him out right now. Come on, you got an opportunity. Do it. Guess who's telling you that? That's shaitan, man. He's whispering. So what do you do when shaitan whispers? A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. Oh Allah, protect me. I seek refuge in you from the evil, cursed devil. And you spit to tell him, hey, I ain't listening to you. My spit is going to turn your fire off. Get out of here. That's right. You tell him, man. Anyway, so we don't want to argue futilely with no benefit. We don't want to lie, even if we might be joking, and we want to have good manners. We should have that as a resolution for the rest of our lives, inshallah ta'ala. Go to complicated and benefit from it, so maybe Allah will ease your complications. Inshallah ta'ala. And again, remember the brothers in your prayers. the least you can do for this needy family is to make dua that Allah Azza wa Jal makes their affairs easy. And also to reward whoever, you know, donated, whoever was able to give something. And remember, it's not over. Alhamdulillah, we have a local brother who helps out. His name is? Okay, so when you want to help people, tell him, look man, I got extra money. You know some needy people, take the money. No questions asked. Okay? If he steals the money, it's between him and Allah. If he gives the money, you get the reward and he gets the reward too. Right? But once the money comes out of you, don't worry about where it went. Don't question. It went to Allah. Don't inquire. Don't inquire. Give it and forget about it. And don't even say that I did something good. Ask Allah to accept from you. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ وَتُبْ عَلَيْنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ التَّوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ Oh Allah, accept from us. Indeed, you're the most forgiven, the most merciful. And forgive us. In fact, you're the one that forgives the most and the most merciful. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Oh Allah, grant us the goodness of this life and the goodness of the next life and save us from the fire. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. Oh Allah, we've wronged ourselves, and if you don't forgive us and have mercy on us, we will be amongst the losers. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, don't misguide our hearts after you've guided us, and grant us mercy from you. Indeed, you're the one who provides. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Oh Allah, bless our messenger Muhammad, raise his rank, shower him with mercy and grace, and grant him safety and security and peace along with his family and all those who follow his guidance. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا ما أبقيتنا واجعلها الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا وقرارنا. O Allah, grant us from your fear that which prevents us from sinning, and grant us from righteous deeds that which will end us in paradise, and grant us from certainty that which will make the affairs and the trials and tribulations of this life easy for us. And let us enjoy the blessings that you've given us. Enjoy our vision and enjoy our hearing and enjoy all of our energy and power to the fullest. And don't make our revenge except against those who have wronged us and oppressed us. And grant us victory over the ones who have enmity with us. And don't make this material life our biggest concern. And don't make our trial a court on our deen. Don't make our tribulation and our catastrophe related to our deen affairs. Make it, you know, protect us from that. And don't make this material life our biggest concern. Don't make our destination, you know, the hellfire. And grant us an eternal abode in paradise. Wallahu a'lam. Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wa sallallahu wa sallama ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. And we ask Allah to bless our messenger Muhammad, to raise his rank, and to bless him and his companions and his family and all those who follow his guidance. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises due to Allah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. All glories to you, O Allah. You are far above any imperfection. And we praise you and we thank you. And we seek forgiveness and we repent to you.